Okay. So first question, in Berena Fashos, we say, Berena Fashos Rabos Vechasronans, we're thanking Hashem for our lackings so that we can have something to talk to him about. But I'm not sure how the grammar works with Al Kol Ma Shebrasa. Like, how do we fit that in together?
The translation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a little difficult to translate. Rain, mm-hmm. Freshos, Rabos. One second. The Mefarshim do have difficulty in actually translating the actual. That's what the Bracha I'm trying to recall how they reconcile. Rain, Freshos, Rabos. So the simple meaning is that. It's connected to the phrase before. In other words, v'chesronan al kol mashe barasa mashe bara, meaning to say, it would be making the statement on everything that you created. You created chisaron, meaning a sense of dependence on something else. L'hachayos b'hem nefesh kol chai, and that. Chisaron is what gives us the ultimate life because we turn to Hashem.
So we're thanking, though, Hashem for giving lackings.
We're thanking Hashem for creating lacking, which forces us to recognize our dependence on Him as the ultimate source of life.
So I guess I could hear if it was us, humans, but we're thanking Hashem for lackings in lizards.
I think that's so because the MS is by looking at a universe where every single thing needs something else,
mm-hmm.
we understand that there must be an ultimate creator.
Okay.
So yeah, we are margish hashkacha pratis in the fact that animals also need things outside themselves.
Okay. And then I'm wondering what the minhag bara or barasa.
Yeah, so the most siddurim have barasa. The better minhag is to say bara, because that is consistent with the normal nusach of a bracha that moves from second person to third person. So, for example, when we make a bracha shahakol, baruch atah Hashem, shahakol niya bidvaro. And there's a good reason for that. The Abu Draham says that the neichach, the second person, direct, is the expression you use for a friend or an intimate.
Mm-hmm.
And the third person is how you talk to a melech. So there's avas Hashem, where I relate to God with love, and yiras Hashem. So you go from ava and then yira, you combine both ideas. So that would be the svara of the going from right, brachat Hashem to bara.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I saw in the Mishnah Berurah it says we should wash after we cut our nails or get a haircut. Is that a three times, or just
wash? It's a big machlokes. It's not three times.
So it's the same as after the bathroom that some people still
correct.
Are.
That's correct. It's the same thing. It's the same category.
Okay.
It's complicated because ultimately. The idea of Ruach Ra is a Kabbalistic idea, and once you delve into Kabbalah, which I have not either, so some Kabbalists might actually differentiate between bathroom Ruach, in other words, they have different madregos, so you'll sometimes see in the Kabbalah they're machalic and the different ones, but generally speaking, we treat them all the same, and make it that you don't need to go upon them, but whatever you do with the bathroom, we do with that.
Okay. So if there's a machlokis in some kind of halacha, especially, we'll say by the two opinions of when.
Sorry, just a
second.
Okay. It's probably the same. Hello. Yeah. How are you feeling?
could make a comment. It may not be something you have to fight for, just for this information. And we'll pay up. Yeah, I could try killing. Alright, I get home, I'll do it. Or if you give me a number. Okay, I'll call you later for information.
So there's a machlokas, say, between, I think it's the Gra, the Magen Avraham, about Shema, time to say Shema. So, it seems like we've been told before to be machmir like the Magen Avraham. I'm just wondering, it seems like inconsistent with my understanding of Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. If the Gra could be correct and the Magen Avraham could be correct, why would it be better to choose either one specifically? It should just be, if you have a minhag, to keep it and mm-hmm. no nothing.
Well, you know, it's interesting that this is maybe the difference between America, you know, more modern shuls. Most places give you the two zmanim for Kriya Shema.
Mm-hmm.
But in a lot of American shuls, they'll do the Gra in big numbers. Magen Avraham early number. In Eretz Yisrael, they usually have Magen Avraham in big numbers. Yeah, well, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, Elu Ve'elu Divrei Elokim Chaim. So after May of Yes from Shana, the person says, I followed the Gra. Mm-hmm. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't say he was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Although it was done by the Gra himself. Yavin Kvasikin. The Gra himself probably didn't follow the Gra. But whatever. So it's not Shayach for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's Emes. However, of course, your question is equally true for any chumrah at all.
Right.
So, but I think that what a chumrah shows is, a chumrah shows a certain attitude towards Torah. That I care enough about the Torah that I want to do things that are right, according to all views, and not be simich on Eilu V'Eilu. So I think in such a situation, the issue is not that a person is going to be nenash because he followed the Gra, but I think a person will get more skar if he follows the Magen Avraham. Because a person's attitude is, I want to do a shita that all views of emes consider emes.
Okay.
You know, it could be something like that.
Okay. And I guess when it comes down to deciding when to take on a chumra, is there a good etza to follow?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know how helpful this will be, but I think a very, very important insight is, will taking on this chumra have a likely effect of making me less conscientious in things that are more important than the chumra? Mm-hmm. So for example, even a simple thing, like if I will get up a half an hour earlier to learn, if I will be tired, I will daven with less kavana, if I will be grouching in my bein adam l'chaveiro,
mm-hmm.
or yell at my wife, then, you know, better not to take on the chumra. In other words, this is something people mistake, that effects on your personality, including anxiety, anger, and you know, just being short-tempered, are important cheshbainas in determining whether you take on a chumra, because this is a chumra that is likely to cause you to be over on very significant bein adam l'chaveiro commandments. So that's part of the thing. Meaning, a chumra should be essentially what you might call organically part of your natural growth as a Jew. It should not be an artificial thing that you put on, which is not really lefi your madrega at this point. The Gemara is a beautiful riot to this idea. The Gemara talks about a certain Amora once said, he is like vinegar compared to his father. I don't know if you ever came across the Marcus boy. When my father ate meat, he would wait 24 hours before he had milchix. And I only wait between one meal and another. And there's machlok, does that mean 6 hours, or, you know, it might even mean a half an hour? So the question becomes, if he thought it was such a great idea to wait 24 hours, then why didn't he? In other words, you're certainly not going to assume that he had to have his ice cream, you know, right away.
Right.
Let him wait 24 hours. The answer is no, he says. My father waited 24 hours because he had a yira that there might be a little meat that comes in contact with the milk. For me, I could do it. I could do it. But I don't feel that way. So for me, it would be a meaningless external action. It would not be reflective of my Yiras Shemayim. And therefore, it's not a right chumra for me. See? So I know that some people look at it the other way. Some people say, well, maybe if I do the Chumrah, like Nasa V'Nishma, that'll bring me to a higher Madrega. Mm-hmm. It seems to be that Chazal look at it the other way, that Chumrahs come from the Yira that you have. Meaning you don't try to force the Yira by doing Chumrahs that you're not at that Madrega yet.
Okay.
So I think that's the general guideline of it.
Okay, that topic actually brings up a question I have on something as well. It seems to mixing milk and meat that's cold is Durabanan, is that correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And to not eat milk and meat, if the meat is cold in your mouth, it seems like a rabbinic decree on a meal.
Sure. To have a glass of milk with the hamburger is 100% Durabanan.
So it seems like a Rabbanan, Durabanan on a Durabanan.
It is true. And then waiting 6 hours. Yeah, it's true. Basar B'chalav is a very, very strange rule. You actually have probably 10 level Durabanans. I mean, you're telling me that even if I eat meat and milk together is a Durabanan. So Why am I M'chayiv? Then I'm M'chayiv to wait 6 hours for that. The truth is, the rule that you don't make a drabanan on a drabanan is not a 100% rule. It has many, many exceptions. You can't really take. You have to be Mayan exactly. Why? At most, we could describe it as a tendency in rabbinic legislation, but it's not an absolute rule. We often have multiple levels of drabanans.
Okay. That relates then to the question for playing marbles on Shabbos. We don't do that because you might come to level the ground. But that is a malacha sheino tzarif legufo, I guess, because you're just doing the malacha of flattening, but your intent isn't to.
So this would depend, of course, according to the Shitas Rambam. The Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda. That malacha sheino tzarif legufo is an isur d'oraisa, and at least the chatchila, we are often choshes. That's why you find many laws of Shabbos. We have gezeiros on malacha sheino tzarif legufo. Now the question. To be ma'ayin is that only because we're choshesh l'shita sarambam, or would it even be like the other view? But l'chatchila we are choshesh for the Rambam shita that like Rav Yehuda would be in the Sugar Reza.
Okay. If I took a pencil, as I think I understood this from Shabbos Malachas. If I took a pencil and just wrote on or even like a pen or a permanent thing and just wrote nonsense, like lines, would that be permitted?
Well, it's not permitted. I mean, Daraisa, you're asking.
Yeah,
Daraisa. L'chaira, min ha-taira, to be chayev, it either has to be two oisius or a tsura, a picture. If it is not oisius and not a tsura, then l'chaira Daraisa, it's mutter, Daraisa. And even if you hold chatz, the only question is if you hold chatzi shir, this is a whole big machlokas. If a chatzi shir, for example, if I write one letter, is it asur d'oraisa? But even if one letter is asur d'oraisa, that's only because it's chazilat terufa, meaning one letter is the first step of two. So, but if you're just scribbling, where you don't even have a single letter, chayr d'oraisa will be major.
Okay. Erasing, if we erase, so letters is one thing. He says also it's preparing the surface for writing. So if I were to erase an ink blotch, or some kind of a, if I could do that, would this? So this would be asur d'oraisa because I'm preparing the surface for writing.
No, I think not. I think that the Torah ushers preparing a surface for writing through a process of mechika.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to be called mechika, there has to be a kesiva. So mechika of that which is not kosev. Now the question you could ask is, would it be chayev for makiv patish or tikkun kli? That's a secondary thing. But to be chayev for the malacha of mochek, it's true that mochek has to be al menas lichtov. But that's only, it has to be mochek first.
Right.
And mochek requires that it be kosev.
Okay. Rabbi Ribiat says that the skin is a valid writing surface. So first, if I had letters written on my skin, it seems like it would be usur to erase that. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he goes a step further and says that if I have grime on my hands, that would be an usser to erase because I'm preparing the surface.
Yes,
that's not.
If you were planning on. And writing me?
It seems like he said...
Well, you can wash your hands and chops.
Right. So he said if I had intent to get the grime off...
In order to write.
It seems like he just said to that was my intent. So...
He must be talking about in order to write.
Okay, so
even so, that's a big chiddush because I would have said even on a piece of paper,
mm-hmm.
that wouldn't be the case, though, Raisa. Because you have to be mochei shtei yosias, you have to be mochei, right? You have to check the makaris.
So maybe that's it. A chiddush of his then would be to say that erasing
even. You have to say it.
Okay, there you go. Okay. Yeah. So another thing he said, so pulling apart pages of, say, a bencher that were stuck together. Now, if it's not stuck at the letters, I could open it up, he says, because the sticking was accidental, so by definition it's temporary sticking, so I could undo it. He says, but if it's on the letter, even if it's not going to tear the letter, he says it's preparing the surface for the writing that's going to be on there, and he says that's in the category of mochek, because now I can't see the letters, and when I open the bencher or open
mochek
the
paper, or kose, what's the mochek?
He says mochek. It seems like a play on words almost. Yeah, it's preparing the surface for writing. I think that's a klal that he uses of mochek. So right now, I can't see the writing.
Oh, I see. Preparing the surface by
right.
making the writing visible. Oh.
Right.
Wow. it's a very interesting...
Mm.
He's saying by exposing the surface and enabling the letter to be seen... I have to see the marker for that. This is
okay.
very not
okay.
stubborn. It's not stubborn in a lot of ways. If anything, I would call it more kosev than mochek. I wouldn't call it mochek.
Okay. So would you call it kosev then?
I call it kosev. There was a svar of that. I know that they say if wax, in the case of if wax is on a letter in a Sefer Torah and you scrape away the wax,
mm-hmm. That's
making the letter visible.
Uh-huh.
That might be kosev.
Awesome.
So that would be the closest thing.
Okay. Let's see. So if I come late to mincha, so I've been told that I should skip Ashrei and go right to Shmona Esrei if I can make it with the minyan. If I can start with the minyan, so then afterwards the tzibur will say Aleinu, and I've heard that one should say Aleinu with the tzibur. So would I then say Aleinu and then Ashrei, or say Ashrei while they're saying Aleinu and then say Aleinu afterwards?
No, just say Aleinu with the tzibur.
And then Ashrei
and
afterwards.
Ashrei, so.
Okay. So I was wondering, so the Chazon Ish holds that electricity is bone. It seems that it should be permitted through Derech Tashmisha. I was just wondering what the Chazon Ish's svara, why that should be overlooked.
Well, this is part of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach as a young man,
mm-hmm.
he was very, very young, was engaged in an extended correspondence with the Chazon Ish,
mm-hmm.
in which he was cholek on the Chazon Ish, although the Maisel Shlomo Zalman was always machbel of the Chazon Ish,
mm-hmm.
and even in this. But in Svarin and in Lundus, he was Chowik and Chazanish. And this was very, and this was published in the Sefer Ma'orei Or. So Chazanish is a difficult Svar, although the Maisa, many people are Cheshish for his Shita. But I think the Chazanish basically understands that the Derech Tashmisha is not the on and the off. In other words, I use a light when it's on, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the actual turning on is just a machshir. It's not the it's not the shimush itself. The shimush is when I have a light, I use it.
I see. So it would be
the
like
on and the off is the hachana for the shimush.
So it would be like a wind up watch then.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. Are self-winding watches, are those permitted?
Yeah.
And we wouldn't say that that's the same as a regular winding watch.
Well, the difference. One difference is that you can't reckon it a tikkun kli because the shimush prevents the kli from becoming unmesukan.
Mm-hmm.
The self-winding watch, the watch never stops.
Right.
So therefore, you're not taking something that's not a kli and making it a kli. It remains a kli. Your shimush prevents it from becoming broken.
So that's we don't say that by a regular winding watch if it's running at the time we wind it.
Yeah. So the difference would be Oh, I see. Well, that is a swear. There are some poskim who actually matter winding it as long as it's still running.
Mm-hmm.
That swear that would be true. But then there's another swear. They say that when there's a separate pu'ula of winding, that's not called derech tashmisha. That's called derech tikkun.
Mm-hmm.
If the only movement is the normal movement of my arm or the movement of looking at my watch, that's taka derech tashmisha.
Okay.
So you have two separate swaras for that.
Okay. So a tightening tightening in a screw or something in a building would be bone because it's a structure. So I read that something smaller than 3 amos by 1 amma is not a structure. So obviously assembling parts would still be an issue. But say on a chair, if it's less than 3 by 1, could I tighten a screw on a chair?
What's the shape? 3 amos by one. I'm trying to remember what
I'm not sure what the source is.
I would say I don't have to look myself, but I would say the general your machmer and not tightening, even for Caleb, you know, we don't use screws.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know they say for eyeglasses. I mean, eyeglasses are certainly less than that chair. They say if you don't screw in the side of the eyeglasses.
Okay, I don't have to see what the source of it is. Okay. How are we doing on time? I just have this many more.
Have you gone through the whole 4 chalakim?
I'm almost done. I have one more.
It's like a seal.
Yeah. It's taken all year.
It's tremendous work. I just wish I wish he would have put his footnotes on the page.
Oh yeah, it's
very difficult to go back and forth.
I was just recommended for Basar V'Cholov a book. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Basar V'Cholov.
That's a good
segment. So it's excellent, and also it has the Makoros on the it makes it so much more convenient.
Yeah.
So Rabbi Ribiad is more explaining, so he needs to put it in the back, but it's still a hassle. So we say Shalom Aleichem to each other. I was wondering why Aleichem seems to be second person plural.
Why is it Lashon Rabbim?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll give you a technical reason. The technical reason is that the makor, it's really, well, it's an adaptation of the makor of greeting people b'shalom is the last mission in Brachos that you're supposed to greet someone with the shame of Hashem, which is shalom. Now, in the rise from Rus, when Boaz says to the Kotzrim, Hashem imachem.
Oh, and he's just second person plural.
So it could be that Hagam, that we don't use Shem Hashem Mamash, we use Shalom, but perhaps we want to link the Minhag to the Makar in Rus, which is Lashon Rabbim. So that might be, of course. Now there, of course, he was talking to more than one person.
Right.
But it could be we want to be Makashir, our Minhag, to that Makar. That's one idea. There's another idea, too, that number one, Lashon Rabbim is a Kabbadika way of addressing people, just like we say, we talk to a Rebbe or someone, a Rosh Shiva, you sometimes talk about in plural. Mm-hmm. And number three, it's also a Rem is to the Malachim, that are Malava a person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there are different reasons for it.
Okay. If I have a thorn stuck in my, say, in my shirt or something, so that is, it's an impediment to the kli, so it wouldn't be makib tapatesh. Rabbi Ruya says to pull it out, because it's only an impediment. It's like washing dirt off a dish. So, I was wondering though, by borer, we say if on a fruit, for instance, the peel is considered, because it's wrapped around and interfused at the point of contact and it's stuck, to peel it off If it was just a piece, it seems like that would be Borer if I was removing it. So if I just were to pull away, it seems like it's connected in the same manner.
Your Din of Borer is talking about the fruit is peeled, but there's a piece of
peel. Yeah, if there's just a simple piece, it's not gaining access anymore. It's a, mm-hmm. It's a piece at the end.
Okay. I think there's still a chiluk between things that are naturally there and things that are mibachutz. I think the way we'd analyze it is we would not analyze a thorn in a shirt as a taruvos, because the thorn and the shirt are clearly recognizable as separate entities. Now, although it's true that a peel and a fruit is also recognizable as separate entities, but because the fruit naturally has that peel, we do consider them intertwined and mixed, because that's how they come for purposes of Borer that I would not for the thorn and the shirt.
Okay. So one of the things Rabbi Ribiat says by Tochen, he says even cutting up a log to large pieces, which is not Dak, he says that would be an issue. I was wondering, I couldn't find really a source. It seems like his Svara, I didn't find a source.
It's a big machlokes Yerushalmi. In other words, the Gemara says beferish, cutting wood into sticks is tochen. The question in the machlokes Yerushalmi is that only if it's dak, or, So, you must have a marker that this is based on the Gemara discussion in Klal Gadol.
Okay.
About,
maybe it was somewhere else in that area.
Yeah, cutting wood.
Okay. So, if wearing contacts on Shabbos to clean them off, so it's not an absorbent material, so it's not Sharia and Shechita doesn't apply. But if I'm rubbing it, is that shifshuf?
What do? You rub it with your finger?
You put a little bit of water and you rub it with your fingers to clear off dirt particles.
Whatever would be usher on a hard surface would that is shifshuf.
That would be shifshuf.
Now,
okay.
The question is it usher on a hard surface, non-absorbent hard surface?
Okay.
I mean, we're makov, we take our glasses and we... many people are makov, even the shifshuf, on non-absorbent surfaces.
Okay. If I have a light, for instance. So this would be, I guess, a klish malachta l'isser, if it's on. I've heard, I don't know what the source was, someone just mentioned it, I didn't see it, but because there's an element of ash, as it were, within the light, that I wouldn't be able to be permitted to move it.
Well, yeah, that's a big, big machlokas. I don't know how Rabbi it comes out. The problem basically is this. The Gemara says beferish, and ner is muktzah, and ner is not called klisha machto liyasir, and it's absolutely beferish in the Gemara that you're not allowed to move a ner dolok on Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes out, then it becomes migo diskatsoi, and then maybe klisha machto liyasir afterwards. Mm-hmm. So the question is, so some achrayim are simply medame every electric light to a ner dolok.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it's not called a klisha machto liyasir. It's called a busis for aish, and aish is not a kli at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So according to that, you wouldn't be allowed to. Ramesha's chaylik. Ramesha basically says that aish was a special takana that you don't move burning candles because movements could cause a breeze. And lagavi electric lights, we done it like a klisha machto liyasir, which is mucho litzarech gufa. So the taki is going to be a simple machlokas. Can I move an electric light to where I want to use it?
Right.
So the machlokas basically is, are you medame it as a busis to aish, or do I say that, no, a candle has a special, mm-hmm. special rule? So Rabbi Shalomais is meikel, another pesukim might be machlokas.
Is that something that you think I could hold by? Is that, okay, and then...
Does Rabbi Ribiat say it's usher, or does he say it's
I don't think he mentioned something like that specifically.
Okay.
So then, I guess if we say that after a candle goes out, it would become a klisha malachta
l'isur. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah.
So if I have, say, a candelabra on my table, and it's in my way, I need to put some other things out. Could I move it by grabbing it without Kliach Aryad. Could I grab it myself and move it out of the way?
Well, okay. The problem is this. The problem is the following. We have to be mechalik between a candle that goes out, yeah, and a candle that wasn't lit at all. A candle that was not lit at all is a klitzum lachta liyaser. A candle that goes out, because of the principle of migudis katsoi, you actually have to treat it as chamor as when the candle was lit. So actually you're not supposed to move it directly. So what you have to do is, this is why the minog is, when you light candles, you do it on a tray, and on the tray you put challah or something, you sit it.
So if I didn't put something like that on it, I could move it with the back of my hand or my elbows?
Yeah. Okay. That's an important yisoid, to be mechalek between an unlit candelabra and a candelabra that was lit and went out. It's different.
Okay. And then I just want to clarify, because it seems like pencils are so... That's like the first piece of muksa you find. If I... Since this would be a klisha melachto iser, a pencil.
Yeah.
Sorry. So if I wanted, on Shabbos, could I use it as a bookmark? Yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Just it feels bad.
It feels funny. again, you have to be mechalek, you know, because sometimes there's a line between klishim lachto liyisr and muktza machmas chisor and kiss. So, for example, if you have something very expensive, now expense is not the only only criterion, but that you would never use for something other than its intended purpose, because it would be niskalkel.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can't do that.
Okay. I just have one more question.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a bit facetious.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, so when if we're going to pay someone for Shabbos activity, we can absorb the payment into the rest of the days of the week. So we say,
right.
Oh, well, you prepared on Friday, so we'll pay you for your services altogether. So if a person were to, say, a shofar blower or a babysitter, prepare on Friday, and then not work on Shabbos, could they demand full payment?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question, but I think that we would consider it conditional, meaning to say, and that is mutter. I will pay you for your preparation on Friday, provided you also
miss provided.
Shabbos.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe if you don't, I don't have to pay you.
Okay, that's...
That would be wise to put that in here.
Okay, all right, thank you so much, Rabbi.
Okay, a lot of haslacha. Good smile. You sure you're in
there? So I'm in Rabbi Pinterest's shir this month.